blessing on each one that's here as we open up your word, as we hear and listen and hear your voice to speak to us today. Lord, we pray that you would move in us. Open my mouth. May the words that come out of it be pleasing. And may as we meditate together, may it be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, tells a story about 10 men. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus was traveled along the path between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out to him, "Jesus, Master, take pity on us." And as he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Is no one found to return and give thanks except this foreigner?" He said, "Rise, go. Your faith has made you well." It's one of my favorite stories. The 10 lepers, the one that comes back to do what? To give thanks and praise God. Well, the grace and peace of the Lord be with you. Thanksgiving. Don't you love Thanksgiving time? It's a great, it's not just for the view out there. You know, it's about the food. Stuffing. Turkey stuffing. And my wife says, "Are we going to do stuffing?" And I'm like, "Well, we're on this little diet thing, right? And stuffing's not on the diet." And I'm like, "I think we have, the turkey tastes better when you have stuffing in it. Whether we eat the stuffing or not, the turkey just tastes better when there's stuffing in it." All right, so that's my line. That's right, portion control, right? Well, Thanksgiving as a celebration has its roots way back. I mean, we could tie it to all different kinds of pagan rituals and celebrations, but it goes way back even to the Old Testament, and God gave specific sacrifices to give thanks. One of them was the peace offering. The peace offering, which was an expression of thankfulness and praise to God for what? For his gifts, for what God has given. Because without God, we wouldn't have anything. There was also the meat offering, and I like that one, especially as it relates to Thanksgiving, because we like meat. Turkey, you know, it's all about the turkey, right? It was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. But you know, when it really comes down to it, like I said before, it's about, yes, of course, it's about an attitude of being thankful. But isn't it really more about just enjoying the food? Think about that for a minute. In fact, our society, you know, we love food so much. There's an article from the Chicago Tribune that states, "We are gluttons for punishment." And it says, "Thanksgiving is a holiday that now has no religious or state meaning. We're not celebrating a divine intervention, and we're not glorifying a great military triumph. It ain't Christmas, and it sure ain't Remembrance Day. No, we're celebrating the mouth-to-belly connection. Thanksgiving is about showing your gratitude for everything that God has given us by seeing how much of that stuff we can shove in our faces." Anybody identify? Huh. Okay. So there's a little bit of truth in this article. And that's it. We keep it simple.
Excuse me.
We have food. We give thanks by eating and taking in that food. And we take a break and watch TV. And then we eat some more food. Yeah? Thanksgiving for us as followers of Christ, though, is so much more. It is so much more. It's more than even showing our gratitude by gathering our families around and coming to church or attending Christian activities or whatever. Being truly thankful has to do with our loyalty to Christ. So say that again. Thanksgiving has to do with our loyalty to Christ. Just as we heard about the one leper who came back, and what did he do? He came back just to give thanks. So our loyalty to Christ is one of standing before Christ, falling down before him to give thanks, and then rising to go and live what he has called us to do. We're going to take a look at the passage that Emily read for us from 2 Timothy. And he talks about our loyalty to Christ. And there's two things. It talks about our loyalty and our disloyalty. And it all revolves around this one statement. I'm not going to read the whole passage again, but we're going to read together just that trustworthy saying that he says. Let's read together. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This whole passage centers on this trustworthy saying. And he quotes it. Many scholars believe that it's a hymn of praise or a creed of some sort that is familiar among the Christians of the day. And it was to aid them in their understanding. And this hymn basically talks about, again, our loyalty and our disloyalty to Christ. And I'm going to say this morning, loyalty starts with dying to Christ. Dying to live, not dying to, well, dying to Christ, yes, with Christ, but dying to live. And that's the title of my message this morning, Dying to Live. Everyone is dying to live, aren't they? I mean, you just have to look around. So many of the claims that if you just get the right thing, you will be fulfilled. If you get your life together and get on with it, everything will be fine. The latest trends, the latest fads. That if you just find the right religion or spirituality that's right for you, and of course that's going to take forever, apart from Jesus Christ, then you're able to have a reality that is worth living and it's going to change your life and live to the fullest. The problem, as I said before, the problem is it's about us striving. It's about us doing. It's about building ourselves up instead of dying to ourselves, dying to sin, and abandoning ourselves to Jesus Christ. That's all. That's what it's all about. That's what they preach. That's what the world tells us. It's all about ourselves. It's about building ourselves up. Loyalty starts with dying to live. I'm going to suggest this morning that disloyalty to Christ starts with ingratitude. Starts with ingratitude to God, which is just a short step away from disowning. Ingratitude to God is only a short step away from disowning him. The truth that we need to be holding on to and being reminded about this morning is this. There is no greater response of thanksgiving than full surrender of our lives to Jesus Christ. Say it with me. There is no greater response of thanksgiving than full surrender of our lives to Jesus Christ. As the saying goes, it goes like this. I don't think he was the only one who said it. Dave McCarthy is the one who I got it from. The one who has forgotten to be thankful has fallen asleep in life. And you see that so often. You go places, people aren't thankful, and they're just kind of going on cruise control. And their lives aren't dynamic. Loyalty to Christ means remaining in Him. And I want to remind you this morning, encourage you to be faithful by remaining in Him. It was John 15:5. It says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we need to give thanks that through Christ, all things are possible. That means we need to become fruitful. You know, the text says that you might bear much fruit. We need to become fruitful. And you know what? Fruit comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And thanksgiving is at the heart of remaining in Him. You know, one thing that in terms of our relationships, you know, if we're not thankful with one another, very quickly our relationships start dividing and start separating and go further and further away. If you can't appreciate the other person, something comes in between and stands there. This is in the way. I can't give thanks. I'm not grateful for this person anymore because of this one thing. And so we need to get those things out of the way so we can get back in relationship, be with one another again. Thanksgiving is at the heart of remaining in Him. Being thankful, I'm going to suggest, and Paul hits this right on the head, has to do with remembering. Being thankful has to do with remembering. And the words thank and think hail from the same root, reminding us that thanksgiving comes from thinking about our blessings, or calling to memory. We ponder those things, and then we respond to those. How? Well, either by thanksgiving or by ignoring them. Paul begins this passage by saying, what? Remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, who He is, what He has done. And then later he says at the very end of that good saying, he says, keep reminding God's people of these things. Keep reminding. So it comes back to being reminded, thinking, in order to be thankful. Verse 11, say it with me. If we die, come on. Okay, let's get nice and strong. If we died with Him, we will also live with Him. And at this Christmas, this isn't Christmas, this is Thanksgiving. In order to get a crop, what's got to happen to the seed? It's got to go into the ground and die before it will produce anything. It's the same in our lives. We've got to die in order to be raised, in order to grow, in order to have new life. Dying with Christ means rising with Christ. Essentially, as believers, we have one common destiny. We must die to ourselves, die to sin, and to the world in order that we might live. Isn't that good news? Well, yes, and maybe no. It's not good news if you don't like the idea of dying. It's really good news if the life that comes from dying is more desirable than not dying. It's good news. Doesn't make any sense into our rational, sinful kind of nature, does it? Dying in order to live. Paul's understanding here is one of baptism. You know, water baptism? Water baptism is a sign for us. It's a sign for us and for those around us that we have been sealed by God. That we have been sealed by God for His purposes and for His glory. It's such a great picture. We have died with Christ and we rise with Him. we have been sealed. And that's what water baptism is all about. At this Thanksgiving time, when we celebrate together, I want to remind you, remember, Jesus Christ is the source of life, the source of the gospel. And I encourage you, if you haven't been baptized, and you are seeking one who seeks God with all your heart, I encourage you to be thinking about water baptism, what that means for you, but what it means for those around you. It shows them that you have been sealed by God for his purposes and his glory. And I encourage you to pray about that very specifically, because nothing else will satisfy as much as abandoning ourselves to Christ. When we fully surrender our lives in thanksgiving to him, we learn what it means, as Paul says, God's word is not bound by anything. And so many think that God's word is bound by so many things. I mean, the list could go on. God's word is not bound by anything. It means his word is living. It's dynamic. It's powerful. And we give thanks that it is God's word. The scriptures, the voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks to people. That's his word. It's not our own ingenuity, our own ability to put words together. If you want God to speak through you, get into his word. Get into his word. Study it. Study the scriptures so that his words become your words. His thoughts become your thoughts. The statistics are staggering. Most Christians spend less than 5 minutes a day reading or studying God's Word, the Bible, in any kind of way. Less than 5 minutes. It's no wonder it seems like the life has been sucked out of most churches. It's because the Word isn't dwelling in people's hearts. People only have some vague idea of what the scriptures say, and then they easily are swayed by the latest teaching, by those around them, their peers, those who do not know what the Bible says. Oh, the Bible doesn't say that. And then you start questioning yourself. It's so easy to be swayed. Get into the Word. And I come across people who then even have the audacity to misquote the scripture, take it right out of context, and then, of course, have no idea where to find it in the Word. You know, let's get into the Word. But you know what? Scripture is not bound by the imperfection of people. It's not bound. It's not bound by false teachers. God's Word will be heard. We still need to remember, say this with me, the greatest response of thanksgiving is a full surrender of our lives to Jesus Christ. He says, keep reminding God's people. So I'm going to keep reminding you of these things. The greatest response of thanksgiving is a full surrender. You see, it's not, being a Christian is not about inviting Jesus to come and be part of my life. No, being a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, is a full surrender of ourselves to Jesus Christ. It's a difference. Because when we think, okay, Lord Jesus, come be part of my life, and it's my life. And now, Lord Jesus, you do things for me like a little magic genie. You bless me. No. It's a full surrender of ourselves, of our whole lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he can live in and through us. That's what it says. We die so that we might live. Keep reminding God's people. Read first part of verse 12. Read it with me. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we are enduring with Christ, we will also be reigning with Christ. What is endurance? What is endurance? Stamina. Good. Yep. to hang on, to hang in there. Patience. Yeah, that's a good one. Maybe we should put patience at the top of the list. I often wondered why patience wasn't the first fruit of the Spirit listed. I guess because love needs to come before patience. But patience. Pardon? Tribulation, yeah. And then patience comes. Yeah. But endurance is that stick-to-itiveness. It's that endurance. It's that I can do this. I can get to the end. It's just not just having strength, but it's having strength to the end. Hanging in there to the very, very end. Paul says that endurance is for the sake of those who know the Lord. It's not just for our own sake. We are all the body of Christ. And we hang in there with one another, no matter what the cost, so that he will reign in us. We will reign with him. John Piper offers these thoughts. Life is not a straight line leading from one blessing to the next, and then finally you die and go to heaven. That's not it. Life is a winding and troubled road. Switchback after switchback. And the points of the biblical stories, like Joseph, Job, Esther, and Ruth, they're to help us feel in our bones, feel in our very physical body, not just in our minds, that God is for us in these strange and weird turnings in our lives. God is for us. Not, he's for us. God is plotting the course and managing the troubles. Why? For his purposes. For us. For the sake of our good. Not just my good, but our good. Endurance is also to obtain salvation. I've mentioned the last few weeks here the heart of eternal life. Anybody remember? What is the heart of eternal life at the heart of it? Knowing God. Yeah. It's not just our ticket out of hell. It's not just our ticket to be live a blessed life, but it's to know God. It's to know him. It's to get to know him more and more, grow in our relationship with him. That's why we're embarking as a church onto care groups. We're asking you to be praying seriously about considering investing your life in a care group here at Bethel. Or if you're not part of the church here or regularly in your home church, I encourage you, invest your life into a care group. Because that's where life we start caring about one another. We start encouraging one another. And we start practicing the things that God has given us as gifts. It becomes real. Lord willing, over the next week or two, we'll be rolling out that, what that means for each one of us, how we can be involved. We will reign with him. This is the second part of verse 12, the next screen, says this. Read it with me. If we disown him, he will also disown us. Now, this is the point of disloyalty. All right? Disloyalty to Christ is a result of what? Not remaining in him. It starts with being ungrateful, but it comes from not remaining in him. See, we have a living hope. We have a living hope, but that hope will fade if we are ungrateful. It will fade. See, if we reject Christ, he will reject us. But you know what? The good news, the good part of that, the hopeful part of that, is that he will never initiate that rejection. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We often leave and forsake, but he will never. Say it with me, the next one. There is no greater response of thanksgiving than full surrender of our lives to Jesus Christ. Now, we're down to verse 13. verse 13, and I want you to read this with me. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Faithfulness with Christ means remaining with Christ. Remaining with Christ. What does it mean to really remain with him? It means taking up the cross, dying with him daily. It means allowing him to prune away those things that are not bearing fruit in our lives, that we might become fruitful. That we might become fruitful. Now, I've got a question for you. What does it mean to be fruitful? Even more specifically, what is the fruit of a disciple of Christ? The fruit of a disciple of Christ is another disciple of Christ. That's hard. That's hard for us to hear. And so many people look to Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, as the fruit of a disciple. No, folks, that is not the fruit of a disciple. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit in us. The fruit of a disciple is another disciple. That we would affect people's lives in drawing them to Jesus Christ. That is the fruit of a disciple. The fruit of a disciple is another disciple. And again, that is why we're launching this ministry called Care Groups. So that we can get into people's lives, we can get to know them, help them draw closer to God. So that we have a greater impact on one another, disciple one another, which will work its way into the hearts, into the lives of those beyond our care groups. It will. It just automatically does because we are growing. Well, for opening ourselves up to one another, being accountable to one another, and praying, encouraging one another. Enough on that. There's a warning, all right? There's a warning here. That I would just dare say is a warning for any group. So you might want to jot this down because this is very important. Use words carefully. They are powerful. Say it with me. Use words carefully. They are powerful. Be careful because those who think they have an edge on truth, those who think they have some knowledge, perhaps because of what they've learned or because of their experience, you know what? Sometimes, many times, they are teaching what is contrary to God. Why? Because so often it ruins people's faith instead of building their faith. And we need to be more perceptive. We need to be always watching for that so that it's what we say builds their faith instead of tearing them down. And it can be so subtle sometimes, just an off comment, a side comment, a cynicism can tear people's faith down. So we have to watch our words. Say it with me one more. Use your words. Use words carefully. They are powerful. Now close your eyes and say it. Use words carefully. They are powerful. Use them carefully to build, not tear down. We present ourselves approved before God. We are to present ourselves approved before God. Someone has once said, the sin that gets our focus off of God and onto other things is ingratitude. The sin that gets our focus off of God and onto other things is ingratitude. But we're here to celebrate, to be thankful, to give praise to God, to be like that leper who comes and falls down before Jesus and say, oh, thank you that you have saved us, that you have provided so much more than what we are worthy of. The only thing that can stop our progress after our conversion is ingratitude. The only thing that can stop us in our progress after conversion is ingratitude. The gift that we have received must constantly, constantly be reawakened and transmitted faithfully to others. Must be reawakened. Must constantly be reminded. To be reawakened. To be transmitted to other people. What God has given us. I want you to say it with me one more time. The greatest response of thanksgiving is a full surrender of our lives to Jesus Christ. And so this morning I ask you, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? We're going to have just open up the floor here and just shout out. You want to stand up, you can. If you just want to say it from where you are, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for?